Philippians chapter 2. We're still looking at the kingdom. We're in the third part of our message dealing with the kingdom. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 through 16. It may seem as if I'm kind of in the same area, going around in the same area, but the kingdom is something that is so important and imperative that really, even as I look at it and I meditate on it, I'm trying to move forward. The Lord still has me in the same area, really showing the same thing, but from different vantage points, because we need to understand what God is saying when he, when Jesus told his disciples and told us that we are to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And it's more than just the church, the kingdom of heaven being the church and those who are saved is actually one part of the kingdom. But he told us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So we need to understand that the full range of the kingdom so we can understand everything that we're supposed to be a part of. Amen. And I find that if we're limited in an area, we can work in one area of the kingdom and be totally oblivious to another area. And whatever part we're not we don't know about is the part that we're vulnerable in. Amen. Whatever you don't know, you're vulnerable in, because the enemy will come and attack us at where we're weakest. And so that's why Paul had to say to the people of God, he says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, because if we are ignorant of them, then that's where we're going to be hit, and that's where we're going to lose the fight. Amen. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 through 16. And it's interesting that we're going to see, hopefully we will see, that actually from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation, everything ultimately is talking about the kingdom. Everything is talking about the kingdom. There was one aspect of the kingdom that came in when Jesus came and manifested himself in the flesh. But actually, all of what God is talking about the kingdom has been since Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. So now let's look. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 through 16. And it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, at this time, oh God, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our minds, oh God, Lord, that we may see what your word has to say to us, oh God, Lord, Lord, and even, Lord, touch me, oh God, Lord, that I would be able to bring forth your word, oh God, Lord, with clarity, oh God, and with power, oh God, that your people may be instructed and increased in their knowledge of you, oh God. So we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he is telling them something interesting. When we go back to verse 12, he tells them, what I like about Paul is that he speaks in terms of the spiritual reality. He speaks in terms of the spiritual reality, even when people don't always embrace what they have. You may have $1 million in the bank, but if you don't ever go to withdraw it, you may still not be able to buy a cup of coffee. Hey, amen. So it doesn't always mean that because you actually have something at your disposal that you will always be able to access it, or that you will access it. You may be able to access it, but if you do not choose to, because you don't know, or you lost your PIN number, or you lost your ATM card, you may have it, but not be able to utilize it at that moment. So Paul in verse 12, he says, now we have received. So he's talking to saved people, right? Because this is the apostle Paul that's been commissioned to minister to the Gentiles. Well, we know that Jesus gave the commission to the 12 disciples, and then it extends out because he said first start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then other most parts of the world. So that the things that Jesus spoke to the apostles in Jerusalem weren't just limited to Jerusalem, but yet it is for all believers to receive. So then he says, well, you need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That means the dimensions of my kingdom, the parts that's willingly obeying me and the parts that's not obeying me. So he says, you, because you are saved, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, that is not necessarily just referring to the Holy Spirit. He's really talking about you have not received the attitude. You have not received the same mindset as the world. You aren't supposed to operate in the same manner as the world operates, because they have a whole different agenda. They have a whole different goal in mind, and they have a whole different way of getting things accomplished. But he says, you have received the spirit, or the attitude, the mindset, the resources of God. So now your agenda needs to be different. Your goal needs to be different. Your mindset needs to be different. Why? He says you've received this attitude from God, this spirit, attitude from God, which we know does come from the Holy Spirit. But he's really referencing the attitude that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This connects with what we talked about on last week. On last week, we were looking at when Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I speak in parables because you have chosen to align yourself with me, because you have chosen to accept me and receive me, it is for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, right? He says to the disciples, to those who have chosen him and have obeyed his voice that bidded them to come and be joined with him. He says, now, because of that, you have access to know the mysteries or the dimensions of the kingdom. So Paul is saying nothing different than what Jesus said. He's saying that you receive the spirit or the attitude and the mindset of God, that you will know what is freely given to us by God. Now, there's the thing. It's been freely given. It's been freely given. So now it means you don't have to be economically sound to be a successful person in the kingdom. Hello. You don't have to have the greatest Ivy League education in order to be successful in the kingdom. Hello. He says, because you received my spirit, you now can know what is freely given. You can now know what is freely given. Watch this. You can now know what is freely given. It's not just the knowledge that he gives, but he gives you the knowledge to know what you have. Let me let that sink in. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Now, it's like this. I come in, I bring a big old chest, and bring it to the front. And I say, Evangelist King, this chest is for you. All you see is a wooden box. Until I let you know what's in there, I can tell you the box is yours. And if I tell you the box is yours, it means everything in the box is yours also. But until I let you know what's in the box, you may look at the box and say, well, it don't look too impressive. And you may just keep on going about your business, because if there's nothing in there that you think that you need, you may pass it by. But he says that you may know what is freely given. So now here's the thing. When we embrace the attitude of God, we need to understand then that he gives us salvation. He gives us the Holy Spirit. But then he then, as we yield to him, he then lets us know what we have access through the Holy Spirit. How many people are saved? They know they have the Holy Spirit, but all they think they have access to is heaven. They do have access to heaven, so they're not incorrect, but they can live their lives beneath what God really intends for them, because they don't realize that they have access to more than just going to heaven when they die. Now, here is where I think in times past, the message of the kingdom has gone awry. Because here is where most people keep people's attention, because they start now talking about, well, you have access to material wealth. You have access to health. You have access to this. You have access to that. And all the stuff they have access to that people are telling them really deal with physical stuff that people need, they legitimately need or they legitimately want, but it's only for a moment. Hello. So if all that the Holy Spirit gives you access to is stuff that can benefit you in one way or another, just right now, temporal, you're really still missing the things that are freely given to us by God and what is really the kingdom. Because here's the thing. If all you really see is physical stuff, you know, stuff that's really dealing with the temporal, you're really only seeing not the things that's of the kingdom of God the way he wants us to see it, but it's really the kingdom of men. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are of the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Oh, okay. Well, so in a sense, everything that is created is part of God's kingdom, but you can still operate in the part of the kingdom that is still in rebellion to God. It's interesting. During the Revolutionary War, you had Abraham Lincoln, who was the president of all the United States. Well, when the Confederate seceded, they wanted to pull away. Technically speaking, Abraham Lincoln was still really the president, technically, but you had the others who were in rebellion that says, we're not going to recognize your authority. We're going to choose our own president. And so basically the Civil War, and we know all the other elements of it, but on the surface, the Civil War was about the president reclaiming back the part of the land that said we won't be ruled by you, to be brought back in so that everybody's ruled by one leader. So in a sense, this is what the kingdom of God ultimately is about, that God is controlling all of the kingdom, but not all of the kingdom is recognizing God as the sovereign leader. So now we need to understand that if we're saved, we're part of that part of the kingdom that says we will willingly serve you and we will help you bring the rest that isn't serving you to try to bring them into the union. Got it? Here we go. So now it's more than just you going to heaven. It's more. God didn't just save us just for you to have, you know, good health and all the rest of that stuff. And those things that people think are the goals. But he says, the things that are freely given to you by God. And so that's what we're really going to be talking about. What is it that I have really been given that is freely given to me by God? Verse 13, which things also we speak in the words which man's wisdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, we must use the words that are available to us. We must use examples that are available to us. But here's the thing. Paul was saying, not that I am now supposed to use words that are speaking in tongues, because if I speak in tongues to you for a whole message, you won't know what in the world I'm talking about, right? So we must use words that everybody knows. But here what he's talking about isn't so much the words, but he's saying we must use and communicate what God is trying to say that brings people to the understanding of where God is, and not just say stuff and use scripture, but only bringing people to the understanding of worldly wisdom. So now here's the thing. I can't give scripture, but I'm only saying the same thing that Deepak Chopra and Oprah and all these other people that have these, personal well-being type messages. I can't use the scripture, but you really only give the same worldly concepts as they are given. He's saying, I've got to use the words that men understand, but I've got to use them in such a way that I bring them to a spiritual understanding. It's interesting that you can be confused because people will say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. And ultimately, after they've quoted a whole bunch of scripture, they really told you nothing more than a name it, claim it, you know, a prosperity or a personal development type message. So they really haven't told you something that God was really trying to get you to see. They were really telling you what man was trying to see, because what? It is men or mankind that wants to receive just natural stuff for my personal well-being right now. God says, I'm trying to get you to see that worldly wisdom and the things of this world cannot supply you with all the things that you really need out of life. God is saying, I need you to understand that the Holy Ghost is going to teach you things comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching and even stuff that's been done about the kingdom is really only comparing spiritual things to natural, not spiritual with spiritual. They will tell you some spiritual stuff to bring you to a natural understanding. Hello. Because, you know, you heard it said before that, you know, people can, you know, go into the scriptures and pull out Bible principles to help you get your finances together. You know, I mean, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing, but that's not really what the Bible is for. The Bible can help you with your finances and your economy and all the rest of that, but that is not what kingdom actually is. That's why I shared with you before. Hold on a second. Ooh, that was fool. Ooh. That was from heaven right there. That was from heaven right there. Yes, yes. That's why I shared with you before, a couple of months ago, about what money actually is. And we talked about that. If you forgot, if you got that message, if you can't recall that message, you got to get the CD. Because actually money only reminds us of our sin nature, that we can't trust each other. You know, it's that message. So if you really want to make money part of the kingdom, that you really can't do that, because in actuality, money only reminds us of our sin nature and that we cannot be trusted. Uh-huh. So then when people use the scripture and use spiritual terms, many times we don't really realize we're being brought into man's kingdom, an understanding of man's kingdom, rather than God's kingdom. And so he says, now I want you to understand that there's some things that the natural man, that doesn't mean just the unsaved person, but the person who is not biblically minded, spiritually minded, the one who may even be saved, but they're looking at things, their mindset is still attached to and focused on the things of this world rather than the kingdom. So he says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Don't mean that they don't receive the scriptures or know the scriptures or can memorize and understand the scriptures. But here the thing is, the carnal man and the natural minded person only sees things in terms of what they can understand in this life. They can only understand kingdom in reference to what they have seen in the kingdom of men, how things are organized now. So then you'll have a natural man who knows a whole lot about the scripture, but they can run their church like a CEO runs a business. It may be successful, but it may not be spiritual. It may have most of the members being financially secure and understanding all that, but it's using the mindset of the world's measure of success, not God's measure of success. And that's not saying that God wants everybody to be poor, broke down, and looking crazy and looking bad. No, that doesn't mean that. That's a false dichotomy to think it's one or the other. But the mindset needs to be, what is God saying about his kingdom? So he says, but the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. They don't really make sense. They don't connect, because the natural man looks at one thing as being the goal. But now when you see God's way don't always get you to what man says the goal is. The goal of man says this: you work for something, or you strive for something because you want something more. But now here's the thing. Everything that God tells a person to do does not always physically bring them to a place where they gain more. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. Because God's goal for mankind is not the same as man's goal for mankind. Because look at this. From man's point of view, Paul was an utter failure. From man's point of view, Paul was an utter failure. Because what? Man's way of thinking about things is, you put in effort, you invest something, you invest time, you put in effort in something, you wait to see an increase. You want to see something, you want to what? See something increase. You want to see something get better. You want to see your stock grow. Now, the thing about Paul, look at this. And so I'm pulling this and using Paul, because this is what he's talking about. From the standpoint of Paul, the standpoint of man's wisdom about Paul, Paul was an utter failure, because actually Paul's entire being and what he had more before he met Christ than at the time of his death. Hello. Let me just refresh your memory. Before he met Christ on the road to Damascus, He was a direct pupil and disciple of one of the premier teachers of his day, Gamaliel. So Paul had a name that was on the top shelf just because of who his teacher was. Oh, you're a student of Gamaliel? Oh, you must know something. Before they probably even heard Paul, as soon as they heard that he was a student of Gamaliel, they said, oh, this man must know something. He was able at a young age to just go in and say, hey, I want an army. I want to do this. I want to do that. He had power. He had prestige. He was brought up in a family. Even though he was Jewish, he had Roman citizenship. So that means in the worldly sense of things, he had clout in both areas, both the Jewish area and the Roman area. He could walk wherever he wanted to. He could go to certain places where even those who were Jewish that had as much knowledge as he had, they couldn't go, because if they didn't have Roman citizenship, they would have to stop at this door where he could just walk on in. That's where Paul was before he met Jesus. Worldly success. That's why I think it was in Philippians where he says, all the things that I have gained, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Christ. He had access to everything before he met Christ. Concerning man's kingdom and what man said success was. Well, he met Christ, and it seemed like the moment he met Christ, he started losing everything. Hello? Yeah, a lot of people don't think about it that way. He actually had more before he met Christ. After he met Christ, he started losing everything. Because now the very people that gave him his clout, now he became an enemy to them. Or they became an enemy to him. Remember? The same folks he used to run with, now they took packs. We're going to kill them. We ain't going to eat no food till we see him dead. They ran behind him from town to town, messing up everything he tried to do. Every time he tried to preach and everything else, they would go behind him and try to create a riot. So then, now, he gets to the place where now he's in prison. At least two times, three times, I think it was three times. But he gets in prison, and at the very end of his life, he says, even the folks who was helping me in the gospel have forsaken me. So at the very end of his life, from man's position, it looks like he was an utter failure from the moment he met Christ. But he says this. This is why he understood this. For the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. Why would you give up all that you had to end up in jail and your neck on the in the basket, and your head on the basket? Why would you give up everything that you had, all the prestige? You could have been the greatest, Paul. You could have been this. You could have had that. You could have, you didn't even get married. You could have had the best wife and everything else. You could have had a big home and all the rest of this. You gave all that up to run around and be stoned and thrown out of places and all the rest of that. You a fool, Paul. But he says, they can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. Even if you tried to explain it to somebody who was looking at it from the perspective of man's wisdom, they can't even see it, even if you explained it to them. Even if you put it out on paper, you put out all the equations and everything else, they look at it and say, well, that still don't make sense. See? That still don't make sense. But see, at least God could give you something here. I understand, yeah, about heaven and all that, but why you got to lose everything here? And they can't understand. Because what? It says that it's spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. It's interesting that you can have scripture and not spirit. Because scripture, oh, I need to move off of this page. I didn't think I was going to be on this page this long. Scripture, the word of God is spiritual, but the word of God is written in the language of men so that your mind can understand it also while your spirit is trying to catch it. But your mind can grab something that your spirit never catches. Oh. Your mind can understand the words. You can understand the basic concept, but your spirit may not catch what in the world is God getting at. So he says you must have the mind of Christ because it must be spiritually discerned. But he that is. That was my introduction. Here's really where the message is. But he that is spiritual. Ah, look at that. But he that is spiritual, because we're talking about the kingdom. But he that is spiritual, what? What does it say? Judges what? No. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Oh, now who is the spiritual? Is the spiritual one the one that's falling out all the time? Maybe, maybe not. Is the spiritual one the one that can quote every scripture in the Bible and quote it in Hebrew backwards? Maybe, but maybe not. The spiritual person is not really always the person that you can obviously pick out as being spiritual. The spiritual person is the one, actually, here's the definition of a spiritual person. A spiritual person is somebody who is led by the Spirit. Ooh, that was real deep. Y'all had to write notes for that one. The spiritual person is the person who is led by the Spirit. There it is. Whether they speak in tongues, whether they've ever laid hands on somebody and saw the dead rise up, whether they've seen an eyeball pop in somebody's eye where they didn't have one. No. The spiritual person is the person who is led by the Spirit. There it is. So he that is spiritual, the one who is led by the Spirit, not the one who says they're led by the Spirit. Not the one who says they're led by the Spirit. Try the Spirit. See whether they be of God or not. Okay, which Spirit? By the Spirit of God. The one that is spiritual is the one that's led by the Spirit of God. So, he that is spiritual judges all things. But hold on, I thought Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Yes, we must see what in the world he's talking about here. The context. Matter of fact, even the word that Paul used here for judge is different than the word that Jesus used for judge. We're going to see. But look at this. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Hold on. That sounds a little off. So what are you saying? The Christian can point out other people's faults, but can't nobody say nothing about the Christian? That's not what that's talking about. Talking about the kingdom and knowing the kingdom. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Remember, Paul is speaking in terms of spiritual reality, not necessarily practical experience for everybody. Watch this. Gave you the example again. The dimensions of the kingdom. All of this is the kingdom, right? Got God's creation. That's all of the kingdom where he controls everything. Then you got the kingdom of men. That's when men are doing whatever they want to do. They think they're doing whatever they want to do, but God is still ultimately in control, even though they think they're in control. I want to say this real quick. Cause I was watching something interesting yesterday. I was watching the little thing on History Channel. That's my thing. History Channel, watching the thing about, Valkyrie and the plots to kill Hitler, that movie was out with Tom Cruise a little while ago, and it was about the plot that a lot of people didn't know it, but there were Germans who didn't like Hitler and didn't want to do what he was trying to do, and so they tried to kill him. And so it was interesting that there were 12 assassination attempts on Hitler. There were 12 attempts on Hitler's life from people inside of Germany. Now, watch this. 12 attempts. Now, he was killing Jews, right? God's people. It seemed like, now watch this about the kingdom of men. He was trying to build his own kingdom. But for some reason, God allowed him to escape being killed 12 times. Right? Now, here's the thing. Ultimately, when I saw this and I was looking at that and looking at this, that can almost boggle the mind, because it would seem like, well, is God trying to protect this guy? What is going on? Well, you must understand that God has his own purposes for allowing kingdoms to rise and people to get to their positions. You know, even as he did with Pharaoh, he says, I allowed him to have that position that I might show my glory through him. So even though he was acting against God, God was allowing him to get to a certain place so that he could bring him down himself, so that nobody else would get the glory. So I look at it and say, okay, it's the kingdom of men. Hey, I'm not going to let anybody get the glory of taking him down. I'm going to take him down my own way. And it was interesting. He allowed things to happen where this guy just took his own life. He was at the height. He was at the height of power. He was moving through everything. And all of a sudden, God then closed everything down on him, from being at the height of whatever he wanted to do to now being alone and paranoid in a bunker and take his own life. Because God didn't want the glory to be given to anybody else. So even though the kingdom of men look like is being run by people and people doing whatever they want to do, that's why in this economy and in whatever's going on now, don't get so caught up on who's stealing what from Wall Street, who doing what, and they taking the control, they got all the power. They don't have all the power. God is just allowing things to run for a certain length of time, and then eventually he is going to show up and show that he is in control. So at all times, we need to walk in peace. We may have to suffer some things at the moment, but always know that God is in control. Then you have within the kingdom of men, the kingdom of darkness, where you have people who are deliberately trying to hurt other folks. You got the kingdom of men where they just going on their own agendas. I want to get what I want to get, but they're not really trying to hurt nobody. But then inside of the kingdom of men, you have the kingdom of darkness, where they are actually controlled by Satan, where they are deliberately trying to take folks out because they want what they want. They will move you out the way. They will kill you. They will do despicable things to try to get what they want. But now, out of all that, you got the kingdom of light, the smallest part of the kingdom. And it is those that have heard the voice of the Lord and said, where God says, come follow me. And they have willingly said, I will follow you. I will be led by you. I will be led by your spirit, and I will be saved, but not just saved for my own personal agenda, but I want to be led by your spirit. That's the kingdom of light. Now, there's where Paul was talking about. The spiritual know all the dimensions. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this one? Because I declare, if you really get this, this will bless you. Even though the kingdom of light is the smallest part out of all of the dimensions of God's kingdom, That's the part that really matters. That's the part that really matters. If you are saved and you are being led by the Spirit, that is the part that really matters. Because God says everyone who is spiritual actually knows all the dimensions of the other areas, meaning you can understand how it's supposed to work, what's actually going on, and know how to successfully operate even in those areas where there's rebellion. Can you really focus in on that? You might have to take him to the back because he's super hyped up. Amen. The kingdom of light, those that are led by the Spirit, when Paul said those that are spiritual judge all things, meaning that you are to understand not just what's in the kingdom of the church. And everybody, you know, folks know about how to talk in the church, when to walk and what to do and all the rest of that. And they don't know nothing about none of the other parts of the kingdom. No. He said, I want you to understand about the kingdom of darkness. I want you to understand about the kingdom of men and to understand about all of God's creation, because he's actually up to something. God is up to something. What did he say? It's given to the disciples to know and understand the dimensions of the kingdom of heaven. God has given wisdom inside of his word so that his disciples, those that want to be led by his Spirit, can understand everything that you need to know. Everything that God has created has a structure. Everything that God has created has a structure. Look, even when things are out of order, we can know why they are in chaos. There's the beauty. If you're led by the Spirit, God will inform you and let you know not just the stuff that's a part of his kingdom, the part that's working right, but even the part that's not working right. He will give you the understanding to know why it is in chaos. And then what the remedy is. That's the worst thing, to have something not work or something that totally confuses you. You don't know why it's out of order. And then if you don't know why it's out of order, you definitely don't know how to get it right. So here's the thing. He says, my kingdom, people that are part of the kingdom of light. Remember, because in a sense, the kingdom of heaven is actually a broad term. It refers to everything that God has created. But the dimension that we're talking about, the church, those that are led by the Spirit, we are supposed to be the ones who can listen to God and know then what is out of order, and to know what God wants us to do and be a part of to be the remedy for everything that's out of order. You want to know, you know, a lot of people being confused, and it's real interesting. Even when I listen to church folks, we'll say, ooh, our economy is so bad. I don't know how in the world this economy got so bad. And then everybody got their own rationality, you know, rationale about why they think, oh, it's the Republicans that was it. And then the others said, no, it's the Democrats. And then they said, no, it's those crazy independents. And then, you know, we got all these reasons why. And if this hadn't happened, if we hadn't went to war over there, then that's really, and really all of those things are factors. But the real truth of the matter is, if you're not spiritually minded, you really won't know what the real reason is. So then, if you don't know what the real reason is, you can never then come to the remedy or even try to understand what the remedy is, that the key for anything going crazy and going awry is because of sin. Hello. Now that sounds like a real simplistic answer. And remember, the natural mind says, oh, that's just religious. That ain't going to help nobody. But the real key is this. Sin causes people to have selfish motives. When you have selfish motives, you will make selfish decisions. Hello. Now, your selfish decision might help out somebody else's selfish decision. So now two selfish people may come together to work on something. A group of selfish people may come together to work on something because they see mutual benefit in whatever they're doing, even if it's wrong. Hello. So now when they try to do it, and now their selfishness, by virtue of the way that God created everything, selfishness will get somebody to a certain place, but it'll only go so far before it breaks down. And then total chaos ensues. So now when chaos ensues, people say, well, it was your fault. Oh, it was your fault. No, it was really the fault that people gave into their sin nature and selfishness. So everything fell apart. So now here's the key. What is the answer? The only answer to sin is Christ. Ooh, did that. So what's the answer to not just our United States economic situation, but the problem of the whole world is Christ. So economic stimulus, yes, some stuff that we're going to have to do in a short term to get some stuff together. But don't think that all of these grand things that anybody, whoever comes up with these ideas, that they're really going to work to make things right, because the whole problem is sin and not just natural stuff. Hello. But see, if you're spiritually minded, you can even see the stuff that's in chaos and know what the remedy is. If people are not going to serve Christ, they will only be serving themselves, even when it seems like they're serving somebody else. Did you not know that nobody can actually help somebody else with the true love that they need to give without Christ? Even when people, if you don't have Christ and the Spirit of God leading a person's life, they can't even do a good deed without being for a selfish purpose. Because even if they're not physically getting something out of it, they may be getting something out of it for their own ego's sake. Hello. Okay, I got to get back into my notes. See, I lost y'all there. Look, what is he saying? Let's focus in on the scripture. He says the spiritual man judges all things. Look, now we have received not the spirit or the attitude, the mindset of the world, but the attitude and the mindset which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It is crazy to have accepted the Lord, be saved, on your way to heaven, but have no clue what God has given to you to actually be successful. Let me say that again. To know the Lord, to have been saved, to be on your way to heaven, but have no clue what God has given to you to really be successful. Because there's a lot of Christians who are saved, but they're operating under the notions of worldly success. Hello. I'm successful because I have a business. I'm successful because my business allows me to have this type of car or this type of thing. Or I'm successful because I don't have to answer to another boss. Hello. I'm successful because I have this. That is okay. Not knocking it. If you can have it, that's good. I like stuff. Yeah. But here's the thing. The mindset is that what you consider success? Then that's a worldly mindset. The spiritual mindset says it's good if you have it, but if you don't have it, the world ain't gonna stop. That's where I lost you again. That's where I lost you again. Hello. The spiritual mindset says, I understand that Christ has one agenda, the world has another agenda. Even in the church, if certain things that aren't associated with worldly success aren't there, sometimes we can't function. Oh, yeah, this message is harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. Look, he says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But the carnal mind receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The kingdom can only be understood by those who are spiritually led and spiritually minded. Spiritually led, spiritually minded. I'm not talking about those that just quote scripture all day. Remember, spiritually led and spiritually minded means those that have yielded themselves to letting God tell them what is the main agenda. What is God's main agenda? Now, if I ask most people in the church, what is the main? Now, this might be a trick question because there's a lot of answers. But there's concerning the kingdom. We need to now focus our mind beyond heaven. Now, listen to this. What was the original intent for God making man? The original intent for God making man, he didn't put man in the garden and say, man, you stay here until I take you to heaven. That wasn't his original intent. God's original intent, if you really want to know what the agenda of God is, the original intent of putting Adam in the garden was he had made all of creation and he put the man in the garden who was led by his spirit, who was led by the Spirit of God to keep and to control and to bring all of creation under the lordship of God. That's ultimately what happened. When you see Adam put in the garden, we many times don't think about that. Because when we look at what the New Testament says about that God wants to redeem us, redemption, what does that mean? To buy back, to bring back, right? To bring back to what? We usually say to bring back to heaven. But Adam wasn't in heaven in the sense that we think about it. He was in a sense, but he wasn't in the sense that we think about it. But God wants to redeem all mankind back to the original intent, which was to be in perfect union with God so that man could help rule and reign with Christ over all of creation to have everything back in God's order. Wow. So now, to be spiritually minded means you need to keep that in focus. That is not about where I'm going when I die. Yeah, keep that in mind. But it's about now, as I'm still living, I'm supposed to be living according to the kingdom of God so that every place that I go, I need to have the influence where I'm trying to bring everything back into order so that God can have control. Wow. Spiritually minded. It's not just enough to be saved and know scripture. Here it is. But he that is spiritual judges all things. The word that is used is anakrino, which actually means to examine, to scrutinize, and to interrogate. Let's break that down. I only got a few more minutes. God says through Paul that the spiritual person, the one who knows that the reason why God saved them is for us now to help to bring all things back into order with God. Now, the only way I can do that is to first realize that it's some stuff that won't get in line. Let that sink in. Let me say it again. The first thing, if I'm going to be spiritually minded, I must understand that there are things that won't get in line. I don't care how powerful you are, how much spirit you got, how much name it and claim it you got, how much you going to speak it in Jesus' name and it is going to happen. There's some stuff that won't fall in line. Hello. You can yell at it. You can spit on it. You can take all, you can go to Dominic's and Jewel, get all the virgin olive oil you want to. It ain't going to happen. So the spiritual person examines and scrutinizes. What? He that is spiritual judges what? Some things? Judges all things. That means God then has control of everything, but everything is not willingly cooperating with God, right? So then God says, I've given you to understand how everything actually is operating. Even when things are operating out of order, I will give you the insight into it, why it's operating out of order. So the rebellious person, God will give you to understand why the rebel is being rebellious. He may not give you all the answers to it, but you will be able to what? Examine, scrutinize, and interrogate. Everybody who resists Christ, there is a main reason why they resist Christ. God wants you to understand that. I'm not talking about the specific reasons, but the main reason why everybody resists Christ, the spiritual person understands and keeps that in focus. All the rest of those things are immaterial. All the different stories. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened. This happened in my life. I went to church one time and then they didn't treat me right. And you can get all those stories. But the spiritual person realizes that the main reason why anybody does not accept the Lord is because they are choosing to do things their own way. Everything else is an excuse. So the spiritual person hears their story, understands what they're talking about, but the spiritual person understands that the main issue is they just want to do things their own way. Hello. The spiritual person looks and says, if such and such is out of order, now what has the word said about this general area? So I can understand why is it the way it is. So now, how can I now approach it so that I can now help that thing or that person to come in line with God? So you hear the person's story. Well, the reason why I've heard so many people, you know, tell, well, the reason why I don't go to church remnants because da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, I know because they know I'm a preacher that they think that I'm going to now tell them, hey, well, you need to just come to my church because we're different in the church. And I can tell when I look at them and I've talked to them and then I haven't even asked them to come to church. They kind of perplexed. Because they waiting because they think they know. But I realize that whatever they saying, that ain't really the issue. So I'm really going after what the real issue is. They really don't want to give themselves. I had a person at work. She went to some church last week, and Monday I came in, she had to pull me to the side, and it was a horror story. I had to try to keep myself from laughing because she was serious. She said her baby was crying and everything. It was some stuff that went on. You know, the locking of the doors. She said she got there. She thought they church started at 10 because our church started at 10, you know, and everything. And I ain't even say anything about, okay, I've been asked you to come here. Okay, you went somewhere else. Now you're going to complain about the other church. I didn't even say that, but that was going in my mind. But she came, she got there for Sunday morning, for Sunday school. And she says, the first thing was, before Sunday school was out, they had passed the basket 3 times before Sunday school was out. I said, oh, well, okay. Then she said they went around 3 more times during morning service because she thought that was 3 more times, and they locked the doors. You couldn't get out. She said folks fell out, a man fell out, hit his head. He was unconscious, hit his head. Her baby saw it. She said, they ain't going to help him. And the pastor just said, he all right, he in the spirit. He ain't hurt himself. The baby is crying. She was traumatized. So I listened to all of her story. I understood what she was saying, but I still realized after hearing all that, I still realized that the reason why she don't go to church ain't really about all of that. I said all that to give you the full kind of full perspective of, because usually we would say, well, our church isn't like that. Just come to our, and that's really not the issue, because you can have somebody to come to church and their heart didn't ever go to God. Hello? So if you're going to be spiritual, God does not want us just to try to get people to come to church, but he wants to try to get us to bring people into the kingdom. And the only way to understand that is to know what things really are. So he says, the spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Scrutinizes, examines to understand the inner workings, to know the inner workings of a thing and what a thing is really about. It's amazing how many intelligent people, they're really intelligent, but actually have no clue about what things really are. A lot of conversations I don't even engage in anymore. I don't. Because when I then start telling them what things really are, they look at me and either say, well, you young, you don't understand, or be like, that sounds crazy. Why? Because he said, what? Paul said, they're foolishness. Because if they don't see, when you tell them from the spiritual side what things really are, they're going to say, that's crazy. So some stuff I just... Even when they ask me, well, Rev, what do you think? I don't know. I ain't even going. Don't cast your pearl among swine, because after you tell them, they still probably won't. So, you know. What do you think? What do you think about the black professor that was arrested by the white police officer? You know. What do you think about what Obama said about it? What do you think about it? It happened. Because if I really told most folks, right, it'd be an argument. They'd see something else. So. But look, to know the inner workings of a thing and what it's really about, because here, and I don't want to just leave it at that. Here's the key. The point is that everything that we should do should be for the purpose of bringing things into kingdom alignment. Not just to give our opinion and to say what we think, but really we need to get to the place where all of our efforts are about bringing things into kingdom alignment. So some conversations, though somebody may even get it, you may not necessarily even get into it, because if it's not going to lead to kingdom stuff, why even engage in it? You know. But look, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God." Except a man be born. Except a man. He's still in the kingdom of darkness until he's born again, until he has given his heart over to the Lord, where now the Lord can now lead him in a different direction. He can't even enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light. That which is born of flesh is flesh. If you're just a human being, you haven't been led by the Spirit, all you're going to see and all you're going to do is operate in natural ways. That's really what he's saying. But he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. How many times have we heard that? And we just say, well, born again, it must be born, must be born again, must be born again. Okay, that means I got to start going to church. Missed the whole point. Missed the whole point. I remember, some of you all may remember, well, those are part of old ship. I remember that it was 1 year that Pastor Barnes preached, you must be born again for almost six straight months. The same script, the same message. 6 months, same message. Opened up the same place. Same place. Now, you'll say, well, okay, we got it. No, maybe you don't. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must give your heart and your mind over to what God says his agenda is. And so then, to be born again, sometimes it's actually more difficult than most people think. Because to be born again ultimately means you put yourself aside and put Christ first. It is more difficult for some people to do than they could ever have imagined. But look at the next part he says, because we're going to connect this with what Paul says. The wind blows where it listens, or the wind goes wherever it wants to go. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let that sink in. Because we're going to have to pick this next part up next week. Let that sink in. Paul said, the one who is spiritual judges all things, but he himself is not judged of any. You can only understand that, understanding it in the context of what Jesus said, because Paul is saying nothing that Jesus didn't already say. He said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, just as the wind blows, you can't see it. You can hear it. You can see its effects, but you really don't know which way it's coming and which way it's ultimately going, because it moves around. It turns, it changes direction, but you can't really tell it until after the fact. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Doesn't mean they crazy. You don't know what they're doing. They acting erratic. No, we're not talking about that. They just crazy. The one who's born of the Spirit is being led and directed by God. And here's the key. When they are directed by God, God knows what the agenda is. And because it's God's agenda, man can't comprehend it, because man says, well, if it was me, I'd do this. Because their agenda is, hey, I need to see some type of benefit I'm going to get out of it. Now, here's the thing. That's why when you have, you know, and there are still, you know, people of God that really want to do the things of God, not for personal gain. But that's why most people don't really want to trust Christians now, because the message of the kingdom that has been going out has really been nothing more than the message of the world trying to get more stuff. And so the world is not buying it. Hello. The world is not buying it. They looking at it and saying, y'all really just doing what we've been doing all the time, that y'all been saying we were wrong for doing it. But now you trying to do it, but you want to put a scripture behind it. We ain't buying it. We ain't buying it. You saying that we wrong because we want to sell drugs and get a Mercedes. Well, you want to talk for 2 hours and then con some folks, knock some folks out so you can get your Mercedes. I'm knocking some folks out by giving them crack. You're knocking them out by knocking them down. What's the difference? What's the difference? We both got our Mercedes. What's the difference? Hello? That's the mindset of the world. And so if our message has been about what we're going to get in this life, the world is saying that's the same message we're preaching. But when God says, okay, I want you to go, I want you to minister to this person, I want you to give them something and don't ask for nothing in return. Now they looking at you. What's your angle? Nothing. You know, God loves you. No, something up with that. They can't figure you out when you really want to just show them the love of Christ, because they're looking for you to act like what they think. So while you're looking at them and saying, I know what your problem is. It's not so much you judging them like, oh, you bad. No, you're looking at them with the compassion of Christ saying, I understand what's holding you back. I'm trying to help bring you into what's really the truth. But now, if you don't accept it, I'm going to continue to pray for you. I ain't going to get mad because you ain't accept what I had to say. I'm still going to minister to you and love you because you need to be loved. And now you're looking at them. You know what their issue is, but now they looking at you like they trying to figure out which way you're going. Because if you're spiritually minded, you understand that it's not about you. It's about all things being brought back into the control, the willing control of God. Because God is ultimately still in control. Now, let's not forget that. He's still in control, but not everything is willingly under his control. He wants us to be agents to bring all things to his, to be subject to him. There's a difference between somebody surrendering and then you conquering because you done blew everything up. Hello. That's the difference. You know, Alexander the Great, when he was conquering a whole bunch of stuff, some people, when they heard he was coming, they just heard he was coming. You know what? We done heard all the stuff he was doing. Okay, here. Come on in. You can have the keys to the city. Other folks, they was like, you know what? We ain't going to give in. We ain't going to give in. He wiped out everything. That's sort of how God is. God said, okay, you can willingly surrender or I can wipe everything out. It's your choice. Okay? So God says to us that ultimately, and we're going to pick up the last part, ultimately, the mindset of the kingdom is to bring everything into the peace of God. Not that you got everything you think you need and so you don't have any problems because everything is met. No. The peace of God really means that everything is in order. See, when we know how God orders things, we can walk in peace. When we know what God's order of things are, we can walk in peace because we're walking in harmony. Peace is another word for harmony. You know, if we're ignorant of his ways, we will be out of harmony with him and we won't have peace. Stuff will fall apart. And then the other thing is that Our job now is to try to influence other people to surrender to the Lord. Not frighten them, because if they don't do it, hell is coming. Now, it is coming. But God doesn't want us to use the tactic of the fear tactic. You know, he doesn't want us to use the fear tactic to get people to surrender to him. That's not his main way of us witnessing, really. I mean, it is true, but he wants us really to try to bring people to the place where they willingly surrender to him. And so the whole point of the kingdom is that the last part is we have the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? That means two parties that were at odds with each other. They were enemies with each other. Your job is to be the one who brings the two parties who were enemies back into harmony, to reconcile, to bring back together. So now we've been reconciled back to God. Our job as kingdom agents is now to say, hey, it's not really about you coming to the Lord because now God will take you off drugs. Yeah, he'll do that. But that's not the reason why you ought to come. You know, the reason why you ought to come isn't because you poor and you've been oppressed and everything. No, that may happen. That's a good thing. That's a byproduct. But the main message that we ought to have is, you know what? You've been created by a loving God that wanted you to be in perfect union and fellowship with him, and he would supply all of your internal needs. Not talking about the external. Yeah, he may do all of that. But if you are internally sound, sometimes not having stuff on the outside really don't matter. You can handle that. But folks that have everything outside but don't have inner peace, they are in torment too. Hello, people who remember Michael Jackson? Got everything. But if you don't have internal peace, what does having everything matter? And so our message is that be ye reconciled unto God. When you're reconciled unto God, when you are in connection back with God, then you have already stepped into heaven, in a sense. And now you understand the whole kingdom, how everything is supposed to be ordered, and now you can help bring other folks into that order so that they can experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Stand to your feet. That's what the message of the gospel is. That's what the whole thing is, that we're here to learn what God wants us to know, how he wants us to change our mind, how he wants us to see things, and what our responsibilities are. Not in the sense of, if you don't do this, then I'm going to clunk you over the head. I'm going to take this away from you, take that away from you. But God is saying, I'm a loving father that's looking for my children to come back home. That's the message, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled unto God. Be in connection, be led by his spirit to understand what his purpose is. Amen. And that's the whole point. Dear eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the king of the kingdom, oh God. Lord, and that you rule and reign over all things, oh God, Lord, all creation, oh God, Lord, even the kingdom of men. You're the king of the kingdoms, oh God, of this world, oh God. But Lord, not everyone and not everything is made subject unto you willingly, oh God. But Lord, as we have come to you, oh God, to receive your salvation, not just to receive the forgiveness of sins, but Lord, that we would receive your leadership also, Lord, that we don't want to just have our sins, our past sins forgiven so we can live our own life, Lord, but we want to be forgiven of our sins, Lord, that we can be submitted to you and your spirit, oh God, Lord, that we would be led by you, oh God, that the world would be brought back into fellowship with you. Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. It's not because we have deserved it, Lord, but it's because of your great love, Lord, that you have placed us in this position, oh God, Lord, that you've given us this responsibility, oh God, Lord, this privileged position in your kingdom, Lord, to help to bring others to who you are and to bring them to your throne that they may surrender.